Funny thing happened on the way to this sermon. I kept hearing who's zooming who. I don't know what zooming somebody is, so I asked Lisa, you know, I didn't know what teabagging was either. So clearly, clearly I'm somebody that doesn't know what's going on with modern language usage, right? But nevertheless, this idea of April 1st and who's fooling whom came to mind. Let me share a brief reading to you from A Guide to Spiritual Living, Science of the Mind. If you don't know this publication, I'll bring a few of my older copies in. Come borrow one. I find this most amazing. So here was the reading for March 5th, and it's entitled The Origin of Perception. Cell biologist Bruce Lipton puts forth that our perceptions control biology, and that we acquire many of our perceptions indirectly without even realizing it. These perceptions dwell in the subconscious mind, prompting us to engage in limiting behaviors. Perceptions give rise to beliefs, and beliefs are incredibly powerful. This is why it is important to be aware of exactly what we believe and really determine the perceptions that have caused us to adopt particular beliefs. Was it something we heard our parents say repeatedly? Did the perceptions come from a particular teacher we admired? Are we buying into the perception of the collective consciousness? One way to uncover those beliefs is to look at our experiences and work backwards, asking ourselves what belief caused a particular event or situation. When we have a flat tire and someone immediately stops to assist us, the belief might be that everything we need comes to us. If we are in continuous conflict with others, the belief could be that the universe is not a friendly place. When we determine our beliefs, we can ask ourselves if those beliefs that we picked up along the way really serve us or not. Let me stop there with the reading. You see, this idea of who's fooling whom, or actually what I wanted to say was, am I fooling myself? And I found as I looked into this idea, it has more to do with our own set of beliefs that we've carefully constructed, consciously or unconsciously, to give us a navigating tool for our life experience. As I looked further into what Carl Jung had to say, or what Freud had to say, or what Oprah had to say, I found, I looked to Oprah. There are many things and many ways for us to try to determine how we can reshape those perceptions, how we can maybe upload some new material into our navigation device. Because each of us has to have some kind of compass, some kind of way of knowing how we're going to operate in this life. Am I right? I mean, if you don't, what are we doing? We're just going around doing stuff without forethought. And you know, people without a vision do what? Perish. Or at least end up in the gutter or something, right? Something bad's going to happen if you haven't really thought through what's coming, right? How I might deal with the issues of life. So I came up with some 20 different ideas that I grabbed from others, thought up myself, kind of thought would be useful to you all today. Okay. Here's a reading, though, first. We do not see things as they are. We see them as we are. That's from the Talmud. The foolish person living only in sense perception has no measure for reality and builds their home on false opinion and erroneous conception. The foolish person living only in sense perception has no measure for reality and builds their home on false opinion and erroneous conception. And that's from the founder of Science of the Mind, Ernest Holmes. Lastly, this is your journey and yours alone. Others may walk it with you, but no one can walk it for you. And that's anonymous. So here are some of these truths that I came up with. Number one, I can only be me. Stop trying to be someone else's idea of you. In fact, far too many of us live up to our parents' goals for us, our spouse's desires for us, our children's expectations of us, rather than us. In that firmness of belief built on your own rock, determining who and what and why I am. This doesn't mean we don't require self-assessment, occasional change or growth, but be your imperfectly perfect you. Be you, do you. When they laugh at you for being different, laugh back at them. So said Judy Garland. Always be a first-rate version of yourself instead of a second-rate version of somebody else. George Burns. Live by this statement. There is no such thing as living in someone else's footsteps. The only footsteps you can occupy are your own. If you aren't being yourself, you aren't truly living. You're merely existing. That was me. I don't know where I took that from, but that was me. This is number two. This is my life, and my dreams are worth living for. Life is a courageous journey, or it's nothing at all. Why would you waste your time not reaching out to be the very best you could be? Why would any institution you're involved with be worth your time if it wasn't pushing you to grow and expand and be more than you were when you came through the doors? We cannot become who we want to be by continuing to do the same old things. If you are passionate about something like this congregation, pursue it with all your body, mind, and spirit. If you are passionate about someone you love and they're turning you off by their behaviors, find another way to engage them that allows them to see how much you love them. The only place where your goals and dreams are impossible, that resides inside of you. Huh? Nobody else has that book or that script that you already created. So if you, what's the word? If you reject or put yourself off that targeted goal, that was on you. It's not somebody else's ability to walk into your mind and destroy it. You are the author. You are the determining factor. Once you've dreamed of it, you're halfway there. The other half is your sweat equity. Huh? So go ahead and follow through. Let your dreams be bigger than your fears and your actions louder than your words. Let your actions be louder than your words. Oh, how Unitarian Universalists speak loud. Oh, the deeds is what I'm looking for. I'll know a human being by the deeds they've committed, not by the words they've spoken. Follow your heart regardless of what others tell you to do. I've got to say that I'm glad there aren't any teenagers in here because that might be scary to tell a teenager. I hope you all are mature enough to understand you got to, you know, have some sobriety behind this thing, but follow your heart. At the end of the day, it's you who has to live with the decisions you made. I think I got that from the reading The Road Less Traveled. Did any of you read that? That's a good read. Read that. Number three, everything good or bad in life is a lesson. Everything. Everyone you meet, everything you encounter, even that nasty food you swallowed that day, that was a lesson. I will not eat frog legs again. Tasted like a swamp. I know because I was swimming in a swamp once and I got some of that water. It's nasty. It's green and nasty. No. Don't do it. All life lessons. Never forget to acknowledge the lessons, right? Make note of them. Oh, I didn't turn my clock back, or I didn't turn it ahead. I'm off, you know? Got to remember to do that. I'm going to put a sticky up next year, right? Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Learn from the lesson. Fix it so you don't make the same smart mistake again. You know what? Never forget to acknowledge, especially when things don't go your way. See, it's in that negative that we actually learn more often than not. Right? And I don't know why humans work that way. That's why we work. If you don't get the job you wanted or the relationship you wanted, it only means something better is waiting for you. Something better. Something that your heart really needs. And the lesson you just learned is the first step towards it. That negative encounter, that ugly thing, that whatever you didn't like, now you've got more tools in that bag of tricks Felix used to carry around, right? Each of us has a bag of tricks. Remember, there are no mistakes. There are no mistakes. What happened between us and them, there's no mistakes. What happened between you and that ex-lover or ex-spouse, it's not a mistake. It was there to teach you something, to make you grow in some way. Remember this if you remember nothing else. Love yourself. Trust your choices, even when it's a choice made for a lesson. Remember what you deserve. What do you tell yourselves you deserve? Keep pushing. Keep going forward. Number four. A few real friends is all I need. I used to be one of those guys that had 20, 30 hanger-oners. I was the life of the party because I was the one always giving the party. I lived in a six-bedroom house upstate New York all by myself. Used to go from room to room sleeping in one bed a week so I didn't have to do laundry for more than a month, right? Never had to wash those sheets. I mean, I used the two bathrooms, rings in the tub, showers, dirt. You know, I just was living it up. My parents were paying the bills. Lord have mercy. But I learned a lesson. I learned a lesson. I learned that all I really needed was first to be a friend to myself, which I wasn't being. But when it came to the relationships, I needed to focus on quality over quantity. Kind of like a congregation's life, huh? You got to focus on the quality, not the quantity. Sometimes it's the people we meet inside of here that makes all the difference in our lives, as opposed to that mega church, right? All those people. Spend your time with friends who love and appreciate you. Why would you spend time with somebody that doesn't know how precious you are? Spend time with people who encourage you to improve yourself. I don't need you to blow sunshine somewhere and tell me I'm all that when the imperfections need to be worked on, right? I need somebody I can trust. Somebody who loves me with my warts and my two-tone skin and the gray hair and the receding hairline. Whatever it is that you're going through, you need these folks to love you if they're really your friends. In honesty, they are the ones who will make you feel more alive. Those ones who dare to tell you the truth as they understand it. But we must also embrace and embody who we want to be. So while someone else may see us in some light and praise us, or even tell us we need a little work, the reality is to be that friend to yourself, you've got to embrace and step in to embody who you are. Right? It's like a balancing act, right? We've been doing it for a long time. It's just that some of us are out of balance, right? Spend more time with those who make you smile and less time with those who you feel pressured by. These people make your day a little brighter when you get a smile out of them, right? This is really healthy to smile, right? To laugh. How many muscles is it that move when you smile? It's amazing. The people that make your day a little better, the ones who are your true friends, They are worth more than all the acquaintances in the world. Those true friends. Number five, my actions and words directly affect the lives around me. How often have you gone to work with a negative attitude and seen how your interactions with coworkers go horribly wrong? How often, for those of us who work with children, know that that negative mentality that we bring into a classroom or a learning environment can set the whole day off in a bad way? How many ministers have come into a congregation with something on their mind that they couldn't get past and ended up spewing it all over a congregation? If you haven't heard of pastors, rabbis, imams, priests who do that, you better look a little closer. All their words and deeds don't match up with the high and lofty theological aspirations they may want to lift you up to, right? You gotta be careful who you're listening to. Let your actions be something that are the examples of your life. So if you're a loving person and you're not giving love to somebody, your actions have not worked out. Practice what you preach or don't preach at all was something that I heard, and I had to start to live into that. Somebody that I love dearly once told me, "Minister, are you listening to your own sermons?" No, I wasn't. I was writing them for the people out there instead of realizing everything I ought to say ought to be somewhat autobiographical, at least in my aspirations. How could I ask you to do something that I wasn't willing to try to reach for too? That's kind of hypocritical, right? So as I aspire to something, I'm engaging in it myself and with you in some kind of symbiotic relationship so we can hold each other to the words and deeds that we utter and these hands put to good works. Become the most positive and enthusiastic person you know. You. You can be the most positive source of radiant life on this planet. I don't care if you're old or you're young, if you feel like you're broken, you're wounded, you're damaged. Throw that trash away. It's like a boogie you pick and flip. I said it, yeah. Boom, up against a wall. Toss that thing out. It ain't no good. You've got to engage a spirit of, I am somebody and I got something good. What's that song? Clap your hands. What's that? How you sing that, baby? Come on, who knows this song? If I'm happy, come on, man, lead us in that. What's that song? How's it go? It should have won at the Grammys. I actually was going to something a little more contemporary. And the brother's name is Pharrell. You got it? You got it for us? Listen to this for a minute if we can hear this. You got fun?
All this big idea is wrong. It's too much of a granny. They gave it to that frozen thing. Frozen. Ooh, oh. This thing was so warm, so happy, so engaging. You can dance to it. You can do your cleaning to it. We're going to polish this church up to this song one of these days. Oh, God. We can't find it. Pharrell is not in this house. His name is Pharrell, right? Pharrell.
We got it.
We got it?
It's loaded.
It's loaded? We're going to put this on. Y'all going to get some of this happy feeling. Because this song is happy. And if you sing this song when you wake up, when you're doing your chores, when you're about to fuss with your children or your spouse, it's still love. See, I'm so happy that we're going to get a new member up in here. He's young. He's got a strong back. See, I'm so happy. No, I'm going to speak the truth with love and engage him in some hard work.
So I'm willing, so hold on.
Oh, we're almost there.
We're almost there.
My actions and my words directly affect the lives around me. Optimism is a happiness magnet.
You got it.
Can you hear it? Happy. 'Cause I'm I got two more for you. This one is hard. The little things are often the big things. Keep it simple. There is absolute joy and wonder to be had in the simplest of moments. There is absolute joy in simplicity. Just a smile. Just a biscuit with some butter. Or whatever you like. I happen to like biscuits, I'm telling on myself. Like watching sunsets, right? Or maybe you like sunrise. Enjoy the little things, because one day you may not look back. Enjoy the little things, because one day you may look back and discover they were the biggest things of all. Some of you all know my daughter is deaf, and it was an amazing thing the day she got her hearing aids. She was about 3 years old. And she heard the birds singing. That little girl said, "Papa, I hear the birdies." "You can hear them, baby?" "I can hear the birdies." I didn't know that bird song was such an amazing thing, and that this little girl was in the woods dancing under the canopy and hearing birds making a racket. She could hear. What a simple thing. So it seems to those of us who can hear. But joy comes to us in the most simple ways. Just recognize and draw it close to your heart and to your mind. Pick up the phone and call somebody you love today that you haven't talked to. Their voice will make you feel good. I know these things. I live them. Lastly, I got 18 of them here, but I'm not going to do this to y'all. How about this? The last one I came up with is, knowledge without action accomplishes nothing. Knowledge without action accomplishes nothing. Be that thing that you've acquired. So if you've stepped into a deeper way of knowing, a deeper way of loving, a deeper understanding of relationships based on truth and reality and authenticity, if you've somehow evolved to a place of greater depth in your world, now you've got to move that energy, that mindset, that consciousness into relationship with others. You got to share what you have. What good is it if you kept it to yourself? The number one thing I persistently see holding smart people back, is their own reluctance to take action with the knowledge they already have. You already have more than you need to accomplish the greatest of goals that you set for yourself. You have it. You know it. It's in there. If you don't have it, then it's in a book that you can get at a library. My goodness, this is the power of positive thinking that a man named, who was that famous minister at that church? Say his name out loud. Norman Vincent Peale wrote The Power of Positive Thinking some 40, 50, 60 years ago. Listen, all the knowledge and understanding that humans need to achieve the greatest of things is already available to each of us. In fact, some of it's already been uploaded into this computer. It's there. It's waiting for you to access it, right? Pull it up. Use it today for greater living, greater possibilities, greater service to all creation. In other words, if you believe you require additional knowledge and skill and experience before you can partake in your life, and you may have already missed the boat. You see, you've already got what you need. Yes, more knowledge is great, but without action, it doesn't go anywhere. See, a man named Saul of Tarsus, is that where he was from? Mm-hmm. Better known as Paul, huh? He said, faith without works is dead. And why I don't subscribe to much, he says, because he gets on my last nerve, and I am not a Pauline follower. I like the rest of the book, not what he has to say most of the time. That makes great sense to me. You've got to live it. You've got to act on it. You've got to take baby steps if need be. You've got to act on what you know. Remember, the acquisition of knowledge doesn't mean you're growing. Growing happens when you know change. Growing happens when you're able to make the necessary changes that make your life better. So keep on stepping into your new reality, whatever that reality is. Stop fooling yourself by diluting all the fabulousness that's in you. See, for me, I believe I was divinely created. The space dust, the particles that make up my being came from the universe, and this didn't just happen. Some force greater than human understanding came together to make us, to make everything. You're made so wonderfully. Why don't you believe it and act on it and live it today and all the days of your life? Amen. Amen. All right. So clap your hands.